All right, well, Ben was stuck in traffic, but he says he's ready now, so I'm going to give him a call and see if he is there. Again, dialing from memory, because I called Ben so much before there were even cell phones.
Paul Goody.
Ben Lawrence!
Hey man, how's it?
Good, what was the traffic about?
I had to go to Fremont to drop off equipment that I rented from AJ at West of Lennon. And
Ah.
on the way back, you know, it was about 3:30 and there was people going home traffic.
Oh, wait, I forgot. That's right. You live in a large city
You know, I knew you were gonna
where there's.
I knew you were gonna give me crap about that, but I still
I
stand by my
forgot that
decision to live in a
there's
large
just
city.
traffic. There's just traffic for no reason. See, because there's traffic sometimes here. Like, car accidents will cause traffic sometimes. It's pretty much it. It's just what the car accident is about. Or, I don't know, a natural disaster. Or perhaps, granted, an animal in the road, which is, again,
Yeah.
maybe your point instead of my point. There aren't that many deer that just sort of stand in the
Not
middle of the road.
a lot of animals. That we got homeless people in the middle of the road. That happens quite a bit, actually.
Homeless people, animals,
I'm not
says Ben Lawrence.
calling them animals. Don't put those words in my mouth, sir.
Too late.
So,
Hey, here's a question.
yeah.
Did I ever put words in your mouth? Did we ever do that? Because that seems like something we would do, where
You
I just take
like a
a
piece of
word of
paper that
some
has word,
kind
yeah.
and try to shove it into your mouth
No,
while music plays?
you did try to pull one of my teeth out once.
Did I?
A tooth out for during Naked Ladies. That was about the closest you've got to my mouth.
Now, why did I try to pull your tooth out? Was it part of the script or?
no, you were just being a jerk. No, it was part of the script. And
Okay.
something to
Oh,
the
we have to point out, I forgot about this. You were me and I was you in
Yeah.
that. It
Yeah.
was the decision was made that we would swap, because it was written as Paul Goody and Ben Lawrence on
Yeah.
stage doing stuff, and our director, Brett Fetzer, suggested that we switch it around,
Just to play
and I
around
think it
with it
worked
during
out.
rehearsal, and yeah, he liked it.
Yeah. Maybe one day, Ben, we'll do it again.
Well, you know,
with the opposite.
Becky Poole moved to Chicago many, many years ago when she moved to Chicago, and she was talking about maybe remounting Naked Ladies over at IO Chicago
Oh,
because
that would be cool.
she was dating the guy who ran the joint. But and now that you live closer to Chicago, I think she now lives in LA.
Yeah, I believe she does live in LA. The
Yeah.
one thing I can also say, shout out to IO Chicago. It is an excellent theater.
Yeah. I've never been there.
Yeah, I went and saw the Improvised Shakespeare Company there, and they
Ah.
were great. In fact, if I were to move to a big city, again,
It would be Chicago.
I might go to Chicago.
Yeah.
But what would probably happen instead is I would get to the point where I would have enough money to live in Chicago, and then I would just live here and take an airplane or something to Chicago, or go to Chicago and spend the night there or whatever, and still live here because I like living here so much, Ben.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad
It's
you like where you live.
Yeah, it's too bad that you aren't here though. Have I mentioned that you should just
Yeah,
come here?
no, I'm still not going to move there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
okay.
I like living, and you know,
Yeah,
I say living in
I
the big
like.
city. Seattle's not really that big of a city. Seattle's a mid-sized city. It's growing, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
It's growing
I
like a
like that
mofo.
I've got you. I'm wearing you down instead of you're not going to move out here. You're now not going to move out here, and you can't tell the difference, but I can. It's working. No, so
Hey, can we talk about Twitter for a sec?
about Twitter?
About Twitter.
Oh, yeah. In fact, can I start us off for just a second?
Please do, because
I think it was.
I think you're going where I think you're going.
Yeah, it was yesterday or not yesterday. Last between podcasts, Ben, it's like I go into stasis. I don't even. There's no other life.
I'm space traveling between podcasts.
Last podcast. you said, how long would it be until I deleted my account? And I said, I would not do it. And I have not deleted my account, but no, unless you are already following me, it might be hard for you. It might be hide for you. I was the one hide. It might be hard for you to find me because I am now hidden on Twitter.
Now, can we discuss why that happened? Why did you change your Twitter handle?
Yeah. Okay, so here's the way it works. As stated before, there is a rule for my employer that there should not be anything that links my Twitter account to the company.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And at one point in time, all of that really entailed was, you know, I don't say, hi, I'm Paul Goody, and I work at this place.
Right.
Right? Pretty easy. Pretty simple. Not that difficult to understand. However, in this modern day and age, what happens is there are some people who, if they get upset about you and they don't like you or whatever, they might complain to your company. And how do they do that? By investigating where you work, you know, going out and trying to find you and find things about you and all that. And so I have removed my name and almost all identifying information from my Twitter account so that it makes it harder. Can someone still do it? Yes, but at least I can show to my place of work that I have taken every available step other than not being on it.
I'm actually I'm concerned about what you're going to pull to try to piss somebody off.
Oh, no, nothing like that. As an example, today someone wrote, I don't get why black people can use the N-word and I can't. Right?
Are you following Donald Trump on Twitter again?
No. But I did a thing where I said, well, here's the thing. You're mistaken. If you think that you can't use the N-word because you're white, you're wrong. You can use it as much as you want.
There will just be consequences.
I think what you're trying to do, yeah, exactly. You're trying to use it without consequences.
Right.
Which doesn't really happen. And he's like, well, I was just pointing out the hypocrisies. I'm like, oh, so you weren't actually asking a question. You were stating your opinion in a form of a question. So, yeah.
I'm not a racist, but.
You're a racist, but.
Actually, I was joking about.
Who says that?
I was joking about following Donald Trump on Twitter, but how long until Donald Trump drops the N-word in a press conference?
He won't do it.
You sure?
I do. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
If he does, he'll be doing it on purpose. That's the thing. If you mean on purpose, then that's one thing. But basically, I don't know what's going on anymore as far as... I mean, when I say I don't know what's going on anymore, I thought for sure that he was going to pivot to the center, but he lost that window. He lost the... pivot to the center window, or else he's doing that thing where he's going to get so deep in the hole so that when he does pivot to the center and people buy it, he'll feel that much better about himself.
I don't know. I've been hearing rumors, and granted, none of them substantiated, just other people saying, I heard this rumor, that he was going to drop out of the race. Have you heard this? Have you heard this rumor?
Oh, I'm sure that that's not, you know, that's...
I've not heard
that
this...
would be...
Yeah, I've not heard this from any news source. It's just, like, actually people on Facebook going, I heard blah, 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 blah.
Well, you know, that would actually be kind of great for him because then he could say, I would have won and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And save
He face. Doesn't have to... Yeah, exactly. It gives him time. And he could have said, we had great numbers, you know, and all that would still kind of work, right? But... I don't know if he will. I don't know. I think in order for him to do it, he's going to have to think that there's no way he can win. And then he will.
Yeah.
If he thinks there's no way he can win, he will drop out. Because he doesn't care if he wrecks the Republican Party's chances.
Or if he blows up the Middle East with nuclear weapons. He doesn't care. Well, did you hear that? I mean, he asked during a security briefing, if we have nuclear weapons, why don't we use them?
Well, yeah, here's the thing. And I'm going to go a little bit crazy here, but just, you know, hear me out, because I know you've dealt with me going crazy before.
Okay, go ahead.
One of the only times when it's acceptable for... for
even you can't believe people... what you're about to say.
No, I can't. But here's the thing. In an apocalypse scenario where humans have to repopulate the Earth, right? Normal social boundaries are removed. And therefore, all I'm saying is, if you have a presidential candidate who is on record as being attracted to a member of his own family, setting up a situation where he and that member of his family are the only people left on Earth may seem appealing. That's all I'm saying.
Wow, you did go far afield for that, didn't you?
I tiptoed around actually saying what was going on. I think pretty much everyone can see. Well, yeah.
News break here. Paul Goody thinks Donald Trump wants to bring about the apocalypse so that he can have sex with his daughter.
That's, yeah, actually.
Kind of what you said.
I guarantee you, if you look into it, someone else has already floated this idea. I am positive.
Wow.
I will also say this. If you remember, we've had conversations about this before.
Probably not. I have a terrible memory.
But I have floated that theory before, or that hypothesis, but with other people in mind at the time. It's just that the universe has suddenly made it, like, work for me. Like, it's served up an example that is actually super great. And it was back on why is it that some highly religious people seem to want to bring about the apocalypse? That's what I had come up with. But right now it's perfectly acceptable because, you know, it fits the scenario. And if the two people listening to this, besides Ben and me, feel bad about that, I do apologize
then
for
don't
disparaging.
Worry, because it's probably just a theory that only you have come up with.
Yeah, I don't know. I think somebody else. Hey, speaking about crazy father-daughter relationships.
Oh, please, let's segue
Twin
into
Peaks.
That. What?
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, what about it?
I'm rewatching it.
Oh.
I'm starting a Twin Peaks rewatch.
So are you getting...
And it's great.
Are you ready for another segment of How Dare You?
Oh, no, Ben.
I have never seen Twin Peaks.
How dare you? It's on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
You should watch it.
I even know people in the show. They filmed it up here, and people that you and I know, people like Eric Ray Anderson.
Well, no, this is the new one.
E-Ray.
This is the new one.
I think E-Ray was actually in the new one, too.
No, that's what I'm saying. The new one is the one that he's in.
Oh, now,
the new one isn't out yet.
He posted.
Wait, are you?
No, he posted.
Are you saying
a photo.
That he was in the old one?
Yeah, because they filmed it. They did film it up here, and he posted a photo on Facebook recently. I think it was from the old series, and it was a young E-Ray. Now, granted, he wasn't like a character. He was just like sitting in a cafe in the background, but still, he was on the show.
Wow, I would love to. I would love to talk to him about that sometime.
Also, you know
you
what?
Should get him
now that I think
on
about
the show.
It. Now that I think about it,
yeah.
I might be confusing Twin Peaks with Northern Exposure.
Well, all I can say is that he is in the new Twin Peaks. E-Ray is in the new Twin Peaks. So
does he have a speaking part? Have you seen him?
Well, he's listed in the official cast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have we done this before? I think we might have done this before, but I'm going to do it again. And anyone else can suck it. If they don't like it, I'm gonna read through the cast list of the new Twin Peaks.
Okay,
and I want you to name people that you know.
Okay,
who are in it?
This does sound vaguely familiar, but go ahead.
All right,
do you have
so
it in
here
front
we
of you?
Go.
Or do we need to? Do we
need
to stall?
Going to...
Is it? Are you
right,
opening
so
up the app?
This is the full cast list.
Okay,
the full cast list. Here we go. And I'm gonna do it kind of rapid fire this time because I think we already did it.
And I'll just go yes or no.
Okay. Okay. Jay Assing.
No.
Alon Aboutabul.
No.
Jane Addams.
No.
Joe Adler.
No.
Kate Alden.
No.
Stephanie Allen. Allen, I do know. She's a member of Wild Horses. I don't know her personally, but she is a improvisational comedian, and she's really funny.
Cool. No.
Madchen Amick. She was, she or he, I forget. Which, but
he's a really good friend of mine.
I remember seeing their name in the original. Oh, and they have a little asterisk next to people who are returning.
Ah.
Eric Ray Anderson.
Yes.
Right there. Finn Andrews.
No.
Elizabeth Ann Weiss.
No.
Dana Ashbrook. No. He was in the original, played Bobby Briggs. Joe Auger.
No.
Phoebe Augustine. I don't know.
No.
Melissa Bailey. Tammy Baird.
No, no.
Matt Battaglia.
No.
Krista Bell. Sorry, everybody, if I got your names wrong. Monica Bellucci. You know her.
I do know
her. She's an actress.
Yeah.
Jim Belushi. Hey, look at that.
What? Jim Belushi's in it?
Leslie Berger.
No.
Richard Beimer, a returning cast member, but I don't know who he is. John Billingsley.
No.
Michael Bisping.
No.
Ronnie Jean Blevins.
No.
Kelsey Bolin.
No.
Sean Bolger.
No.
Rachel Bauer.
No.
Brent Bisco.
No.
Robert Broski.
No.
Wes Brown.
No.
Richard Butcher.
No.
Paige Burkham.
No.
Scott Cameron.
No.
Juan Carlos Cantu.
No.
Gia Caridres.
No.
Vincent Castellos.
No.
I'm going to start saying these as badly as I can.
Great.
Michael Cera. Hey, look at that. Richard Chamberlain.
No.
What?
What?
He sounds familiar.
Michael Cera.
Bailey Chase.
No.
Johnny Chavez.
No.
Candy Clark.
No.
Larry Clark.
No.
Scott Coffey.
No.
Frank Collision.
No.
Lisa Coronado.
Yes.
Catherine E. Coulson. Wait, no. Really?
Yeah, she's a local actress.
Lisa Coronado?
Lisa Coronado. I do not know her.
Congrats.
I have not met her, but I do know her name.
Great. Catherine E. Coulson, again,
no.
Returning. Also, Scott Coffey was returning. Johnny Coyne.
No.
James Croak.
No.
Julie Cruz.
No.
Hey, she's a singer. She was in it. Heather D'Angelo.
Nope.
Jan D'Arcy.
Nine.
Again. What's that?
No.
Okay. David Dasmalakian.
No.
Jeremy Davies.
Nine.
Owen Rhys Davies.
Nope.
Anna De La Reguliar.
Niet.
Rebecca. Wait, what?
I said niet.
Okay. Rebecca Del Rio.
Nope.
Rebecca Del Rio sounds familiar.
She's of the river.
Oh, right. Rebecca Del Rio was in Mulholland Drive, I believe.
Ah.
As a singer. Laura Dern.
Nope.
Hey. I know about her. Neil Dixon. Hugh Dillon.
Nope.
Cullen Douglas.
Nope.
Edward Ted Dowland.
Nope.
Judith Drake.
Nope.
David Duchovny.
Nope.
Hey, once again, he's returning. Christopher Durbin.
Nope.
Francesca Eastwood.
Nope.
Eric Eldstein.
Nope.
Oh, check this out, Ben.
Check it.
John Ennis.
John Ennis?
John Ennis. We both like John Ennis. He's great.
I did eventually watch that that video that you pointed me towards where he did the court transcript about the copy machine.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that great?
And it's funny. I didn't remember it at the time, but I had seen that before.
Oh. Well, yeah. It's funny. Josh Fadem.
Nope.
That sounds familiar, but I don't know. T.K. Faircrest. Don't know.
Probably not.
Iman Farron. Don't know.
Nope.
Sherilyn Fenn. Also returning favorite.
Nope.
J.R. Ferguson.
Nope. But he
Wait
sounds
a second.
Like a guy that I'd like to know.
Here's somebody who maybe we know.
Who?
Sky Ferreira.
You're going to have to do a better job than that.
Sky Ferreira. Sky Ferreira. Who's the guy who played bass in the Half Brothers for a little bit?
Oh.
Wasn't his name Sky?
No, Sky Darwin, but he played bass in the Railroad Tycoons.
Oh, that's right.
Rick and John.
Sorry, Sky.
interact between half-brother stints.
That's right, that's right. Miguel Ferrer.
I know who that is, but I don't know him.
And he is a returning champion also. Rebecca Field, Robin Fink, Brian Finney, Patrick Fischler.
Brian Finney.
Erica Ford. Brian Finney?
Brian Finney's name sounds familiar.
He does sound familiar, doesn't he?
He does sound familiar. He sounds like somebody who's maybe worked at Annex before.
Maybe.
Let me look it up. Are you looking at the IMDb?
No, I'm not.
What are you looking at?
It's from Deadline.com. It's a listing of all the people.
Gotcha. Let's see, because Miguel Ferrer, Brian T. Finney. Okay, let me look at this guy. Nope, don't know him. He's not who I thought he was.
Patrick Fischler.
Nope.
Erica Forrester.
Nope.
Robert Forrester.
Nope.
Or Forster. Forster. Meg Foster.
Nope.
That sounds familiar. Travis Frost.
Nope.
Warren Frost.
Nope.
Returning champion. Pierce Gagnon.
So I think this bit has gone on far too long. And
No, we're doing the whole thing. Ben,
nope,
we're doing the whole
thing.
People can suck it.
I'm looking at the names
now.
Oh,
man.
Grant Goody.
All right.
He's a dude who did the local TV here in Seattle.
Who is the guy?
Grant
Brett
Goodeve. I'm looking at the other names.
Oh, Brett Gelman is a funny guy, too. He's Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson's in it. You might know
Hudson is, yeah.
From Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2.
There's also a guy, Riley Lynch, who's on here, who used to live in Seattle. I met him a couple times.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think any relation.
Riley
Matthew
Lynch.
Lillard, we know who that is.
Related to David Lynch, perhaps?
No, not that I know of.
Kyle
MacLachlan, he was in it before.
Yeah. Man, they got a lot of people. Jeez.
Nay, it's going to be great.
Someone named Nay.
Derek Mears, by the way, is also going to be in it. He played Jason in the Friday the 13th remake.
Ah.
And
John,
an okay guy.
John Paulson is a local dude.
Oh, cool.
And Linus Phillips. You remember Linus Phillips?
I have known Linus Phillips
from? Walking to Werner.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. He did a Spin the Bottle. He was promoting
Northwest
his movie, and he just kept walking around the stage.
Northwest Film Forum had a thing on his deal.
Let's see. Anybody else? No. Trent Reznor. What the heck?
Yeah, yeah. Also, notice Tim Roth.
What the heck?
Yeah, right? Tom Sizemore also.
Yeah.
Man,
they got... Jeez. Harry Dean Stanton. All right. He's
all right.
Here's a news flash. Harry Dean Stanton still alive.
Still alive after all these years.
Kicking it and working.
I like Harry Dean Stanton.
Eddie Vedder.
Yep.
Naomi Watts. Yeah, Alicia Witt. We know who that is.
Wait, we know who Alicia Witt is?
Alicia Witt is? Yeah, she's an actress. Have you ever
seen... Well, she's a returning champion.
Okay, so I'm going to go back and click on Alicia Witt's name because I think she was the gal in Mr. Holland's Opus, but I might be making that up.
Oh, so not someone that we know.
No, she is in Mr. Holland's Opus. Okay. She was in this this movie that I saw a long, long time ago in a movie theater that no longer exists. And it was the last movie that was being played at this movie theater. It was the local... It was the State Theater in downtown Olympia, Washington. And a friend of mine and I went to go see a movie because they were only a dollar. And surprisingly, the movie theater closed. But as we were walking in, we noticed that there were all these boxes of posters. And we thought, well, that's kind of funny. They're giving away all these posters. And then as we were walking out, somebody mentioned that this was the last screening at that theater forever. Now, that turned out not to be the correct because they then remodeled the theater and opened it back up about 5 years later. But,
come on.
Yeah.
Wait. Which theater is this?
It's called the State Theater in downtown Olympia, Washington.
Okay, that's I'm sorry, I was confused for a second. Is the Egyptian open again, or is it still closed?
The Egyptian is open. It is now run by SIFF, Seattle International Film Festival.
That seems to be the best of all possible worlds, because the Egyptian holds a lot of good memories for me, and they often had the SIFF things there. They often had the SIFF things there. You know what I mean?
They played SIFF movies there. They screened the films.
Did you and I go to the secret film festival together, or was it me and Brett?
Might have been you and Brett, because Brett, I never went to the secret films without Brett, because he was the one who got me in.
Yeah. I think I signed up for them or something. Anyway, that was one of the few almost fights I got into.
What?
Here's what was happening.
Because you're a violent person.
What's that?
Because you're a violent person. You're getting fights wherever you go.
Very violent. Yeah. People don't realize that, but yeah, always throwing down.
Picking fights with some random
theater
goers.
I'll punch a dude, but I don't punch a clock, Ben.
Hey!
That's the way it works.
Sorry to hear you lost your job.
But I am on... No, I'm salaried. That's what that means.
Anyway, you got into a fight at the Egyptian.
So, yeah. But I think, just so we can unpack that phrase, there is a rap lyric, we don't punch girls and we don't punch a clock, which is fine. But my bastardization of it in that moment was... I'll punch a dude, but I don't punch a clock. Meaning, hey, look at me. I'm successful, but that doesn't mean I won't throw down. Which, of course, as we know, is the opposite of the case. I do not.
Anyway.
But in this one instance, we are standing in line outside of the Egyptian for the secret movie, which is the movie that they don't advertise, that you don't know what it is, you don't know what you're going to be seeing.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Usually the movie isn't that good, but sometimes it is.
You might be seeing a weird indie flick from nowhere, Iowa, or you might be seeing the latest, like, you know, Marvel superhero movie.
Right, because sometimes the idea is that they can't advertise that they have it.
Right.
Because it's supposed to be premiering somewhere else.
Right. New York or LA.
Right. In this case, we were standing outside of the movie waiting for it to... come up, and there was a guy who, so we're, it's like six in the morning, six or seven in the morning, and there's a guy who is just now probably not partying anymore.
Because all his friends had gone to bed or got arrested.
He's walking up to people who are in line and shouting, "Move!" at them.
What?
And people keep on moving out of the way, and he's like, "Move!" And he comes up to me, and I decide, I'm not moving.
Right.
I'm like, "Go around me." And he's like, "You move." And I'm like, "No, go around." And he tries to push through me.
Was Brett standing next to you?
I believe Brett is not standing next to me at the time. I think he has already moved. Everyone has moved at this time, because... all of a sudden, it's not, you know, one crazy guy. It's two crazy guys having a crazy guy off. And he looks at me and he says, "You've got pretty eyes, but they'd look better red."
Oh, geez.
Which made me think, oh, he's offered to gouge my eyes out. And so I got out of the way. And he's like, "That's right." Very, and like, kept walking.
Very sensible of
and
you.
And afterwards, I was trying to unpack it, and I realized, aha, this guy, most likely high, seemed high in some way, shape, or form. Now, I would say probably meth is a guess.
Okay.
Did not understand that we were waiting in line. Thought that he was in the weird part of Seattle where people stand in the middle of the sidewalk and don't go anywhere. So that made sense. I saw him on a bus, same guy.
I'm glad you can see it from this crazy person's point of view.
Oh, well, I was in that point of view every once in a while. Not drug-induced, but just being crazy.
Right.
And the other thing, basically, is that when I saw him 2 weeks later, he recognized me, but he didn't know where he recognized me from.
Did he sit next to you on the bus?
No. It was one of those packed Capitol Hill buses where everybody's standing. Yeah. And he was standing in front of me.
Okay.
And I think that that's what did it, because he was like, I've been in this situation before with this guy.
This feels oddly familiar.
And I saw that flicker of recognition. And so I came up with, you know, again, this is my crazy speak. The thing I came up with was perfect. I looked at him and I said, I'm sorry. The last time we interacted, I didn't recognize you.
What?
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't know who he was anyway, but I told him I didn't recognize him, and that worked. Because two things happened in his brain at that point. One is, he tried to figure out where he knew me from before, and then secondly, he figured out, oh, he simply meant that he didn't recognize me in my kingly form as I walked this earth, Lord of everyone, asking people to get out of my way. And he just basically nodded, and we had a quiet bus ride together.
The quiet bus rides are the best bus rides.
Yes. Exciting bus rides are never good.
Nope. You do have
I think I might have
You do have a way of collecting crazy people.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think it's like a Highlander kind of.
Yeah.
They know that I'm crazy, so they're safe to be crazy around me.
Well, I was walking home the other day, and I was wearing this shirt that coincidentally I'm wearing now. But I did laundry, and this just happened to be in the top of the laundry pile. I don't wear the same t-shirt 2 days in a row. Get off my back. So I was wearing this shirt.
I'm fine.
I'm wearing this. Stop writing in telling me to do laundry. It's a Beatles shirt. It's got a Union Jack on it, and it says the Beatles. And I was walking home, and I was wearing my headphones like I do to avoid human interaction on my walks. And some guy who I don't want to presume him to be homeless, but he was old and dirty and yelling at people. So draw your own conclusions.
Could have still been Donald Trump. I did that for you, Ben.
This dude made a beeline for me and started like complimenting me on my shirt, saying, "Man, they're the great band. Really like the Beatles, man." And I'm not breaking stride. I'm just like, "Yep, they're great. Thanks, bye." And I didn't engage. But it reminded me of a time, I don't know how many years ago this was, that you and me and McCandless and a number of other people, I think Jason Schmidt was also there, were leaving the Cinerama after seeing some movie. And you were wearing, I think, a Green Lantern shirt.
It was a Green Lantern t-shirt, yes. Yeah. I know, you're talking about the time that me
and the dude switched t-shirts.
Oh, he wasn't just a random dude. He was a guy who sleeps on cranes. Do you remember that story?
I do not remember. I think when you were talking to him, I was mostly like doing that thing where I kept walking further and further away in hopes that you would not engage this fella and just keep walking to the car.
So this guy was a guy who was homeless. By his own volition. And he said, what most people don't do, you know, is they sleep on the streets. I don't do that. And he points to one of the many construction cranes that are here in Seattle. He says, you see that crane? And I said, yeah. He said, well, I climb to the top of them and I sleep there. And if you remember, you probably don't, but I looked at the guy. I mean, not that you remembered that I looked at the guy, but the guy was actually very healthy looking, like could climb to the top of the crane guy.
I don't.
And there are several homeless folks in Seattle that are like crazy strong. There aren't a lot of them, but it's a homeless guy archetype kind of where they don't have a house, but they do take care of themselves in lifting, like doing chin-ups
well,
at the bus shelter and stuff like that?
Yeah, seeing as how we are a mid-size growing city, there are services to help you if you are down on your luck. Many people elect not to take advantage of them, but some do.
Yes. So this guy was talking about how we started talking about John Stewart, Black Green Lantern, and he said that he would love to have a shirt like mine. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you can have this one. And so he then said, well, okay, then you can have my shirt. And I traded with him. Now, his shirt was it was a sleeveless tee with a pig on it.
A pig.
I forget what else, but it had a humorous phrase on it.
Did it have something to do with cops?
It might have had something to do with cops. But I also want to say that it might have had a sexual connotation to it. Like
hot cops.
Like how you know, like yeah, some kind of I think it was a pig. You know what it is? I think it was why don't you ride this hog? And it was a pig on a motorcycle. It might not have exactly been what it was, but it was very close.
That's actually kind of funny.
I'm pretty close to thinking that's what it was. But yeah, then I took it home and washed it, and I hardly ever wore it, but sometimes I would.
But you can imagine,
because it wasn't really me.
Yeah, no, that's not the kind of shirt that you would wear. But you can imagine sort of the shock that we all sort of witnessed as you started taking off your shirt, and this guy started taking off his shirt, and you switched shirts.
Oh wait, you weren't part of that conversation, I guess.
No, the way I remember it, it was just me, but you were having this conversation on your own. Because we're all like desensitized city types, and we're like, okay, homeless people just talk to you, just keep walking, right? Say
yeah, I never really
good luck to you, and keep walking.
Yeah, that's part of the Midwest to me that never really broke, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think there was ever a time where I would not talk to a panhandler who approached me in general. It got me into trouble a couple of times.
Well, your reward will be in heaven.
Well, maybe so. But heaven is a place where nothing ever happens. As
the Talking Heads have told us.
Yes, and by the way, as that band who had the big hit Flagpole Sitter.
That band? Do you just not remember the name of the band, or are you avoiding saying the name?
No, I've just forgotten.
Oh, Harvey Danger.
Briefly. Harvey Danger, that's right.
Yeah.
Because they played the Heaven and Hell Ball.
They did.
And at the Heaven and Hell Ball, which coincidentally happened on New Year's Eve, the time that I saw it, probably the only time that they played the Heaven and Hell Ball. I think they only played it once. They played it. They played that song once, but when I walked in, they were playing Heaven is a Place Where Nothing Ever Happens.
Right. But it's just called Heaven.
Yes. And I like that guy. Sean Nelson. He's really nice. You know, that was the thing, is that when I met him, he was a really nice guy. Stayed a really nice guy all the way through the time that I knew him. what you want people to do when they're nice.
Still a nice guy.
Yeah.
In fact, I emailed him earlier this week, oddly enough, because I want him to be a judge at the Sketchfest Seattle Film Challenge that I am producing.
Oh, that would
be
great. He would be a great guy to do that.
He hasn't gotten back to me, so...
Oh, yeah. This is one of those things that I think people may not get. And I think that you and I could be good to talk about this. You think about a band, you know, the Harvey Danger, their song is around all over the place.
Yeah.
Sean is a really smart guy and a very indie guy. Like, when you meet him, when I say a very indie guy, I mean, like, he does a lot of stuff on his own. Lots of different projects, lots of different
Right, right.
Things. And so, I don't know, the idea that some folks, I think, might have of famous bands who have, you know, one giant hit is that they, you know, are a commercial thing, right?
Yeah.
But lots of times, commercial success happens because you've put in a lot of work, and then that work continues. It just doesn't get the media attention that it normally does. Does that make sense? That makes sense, right?
What are you trying to say? You're trying to say that...
I'm saying that
there's a misconception that musicians don't have to work hard?
No. The misconception that musicians who do... who like have a famous song, right?
Yeah.
Then I don't know, stop doing stuff afterwards,
specifically
or,
hit wonders.
Why did they only have, you know, that one song or whatever?
Yeah.
When he continued to put out and probably still continues to, I just don't follow his career that much now that I'm here in the Midwest, but he was always doing stuff in Seattle. Good work and artistically,
I don't know,
solid stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how much music he's doing these days. He's like one of the managing editors or like the arts editor of The Stranger. So he's got a job.
Yeah. Oh no. That's what I mean. Is that he is still a very vital. I'm worried that I'm walking down the wrong path here. I meant to say that he's
not resting on his laurels of his one hit.
Yeah, exactly. Then that he's a really awesome guy. and I think I'm doing that. I think that's working out.
Tell you what, though.
But yeah, he's really cool.
If I had
and he played.
If I had a number one hit on MTV, you know, or anywhere, and I was able to retire off of that, I probably would.
Yeah, I might. The one thing I remember now. Jennifer and I spent all of the Heaven and Hell Ball, or a lot of it, working the coat check.
That's right.
But we were there for when they... It was really crazy.
Yeah.
Harvey Danger played a whole bunch of songs, and everyone was kind of into it. And then they played Flagpole Sitter.
And then everybody
went nuts. Completely nuts. And then they went back to doing their thing, and it was like nothing had ever happened. It was crazy.
That must be weird to be a band like that and have like a one hit that, you know, that's what people want to hear. And the audience would probably be happy if you just played that one hit every other song.
Or played that one hit and then left. Oh, man. What about that, Ben? What about that as an idea for a show? You get all the one-hit wonder bands to come out
and just play,
do their one hit.
It's like a live mixtape.
Yeah.
Mixtape live, coming to Bumbershoot.
Pretty great. Yeah, you should do that. Pitch to Bumbershoot.
What bands? What one-hit bands? Because, you know, a lot of the ones I can think of from the 80s, you know, there's a lot of those dance hits, like a Dexy's Midnight Runner with Come On Eileen.
Yeah, exactly.
And Emotion with Obsession. Talk Talk with their hit Talk Talk.
The Sundays with Here's Where the Story Ends.
I don't know that one.
It's crazy. It plays when, and I'm serious about this, when I lived in Edwardsville before. Now, this is a thing, Ben. I'm going to be serious here for a second.
Okay.
It's possible that Edwardsville, Illinois, right, is a weird, like prison.
Prison
that I have accidentally gone back to and thinking it's great, and all the wardens are like, I don't know what to do. I don't know why is he here? He broke out of here. Why is he back all of a sudden? The reason I say that is because
please to elaborate.
There's a lot of stuff that is the same here as when I left, and it's weird little stuff. Like, for instance, Here's Where the Story Ends by the Sundays, right?
Yeah.
Was playing in all the stores when I used to live here, and it's playing in all the stores now. I've heard it like probably at least once a month.
Okay.
If not more so.
Yeah, but you don't really consider the Midwest to be a bastion of progressivism.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But it was... Yeah, I guess you're right. Huh. Okay, Ben, you've convinced me. I'm back off the fence.
I'm glad I talked to you off the ledge there.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, it's a cool song. It's a little like British kind of song.
Sundays.
Yeah,
there was
here's where the story ends, like that.
There's a song that I remember from my childhood that they played on the radio, like the pop top of the pops hits on the radio here in Seattle when I was a kid. So it was probably like, you know, mid-80s, early to mid-late 80s. Early to mid to late 80s, you know, around there. And
sure.
And they played it a lot, but it was just this one song, and it wasn't even a hit. Right, it was just a one that was in heavy rotation, and I finally found it the other day because I had it stuck in my head. I didn't even know the name of it, and it's called "Holiday," and by a band called The Other Ones. And like this song, so I actually bought it off of iTunes once I was able to track it down. And every time it comes up, every time my iPod, you know, brings it up on shuffle. I get taken back to being a kid in my bedroom playing probably with my Hot Wheels from a Transformers.
Uh-huh.
It's funny how music does that.
Have you seen the movie yet? I mean the TV show Stranger Things.
I have not, but it is on my list. I do want to see it.
You know what's perfect to watch after you watch Stranger Things?
What's that?
Twin Peaks. Do it.
No.
We should talk about this. The revisiting of the HBO thing. You sent me a thing saying, it was just a big misunderstanding.
If you'll remember last week, I'm like, I don't think they were fired outright. I think they're just not doing the TV show anymore. And it turns out I was somewhat correct.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But the big thing was that what was said was, oh well, they didn't really understand exactly. We could have communicated better to them, which is, you know, that's business talk, man.
I do.
It's not how the children's television workshop used to work.
I do agree with you that it was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction by HBO, a bit of a PR. I don't want to say disaster, but a PR misstep on HBO's part. However, I still claim that HBO is the good guy in this scenario because HBO is saving Sesame Street. Sesame Street was going to get canceled, if you remember that. Everybody would have been fired. It's not like HBO stole Sesame Street from PBS. Sesame Street lost their funding. Because
I don't remember
because
that
arts
happening,
funding,
but I believe you, Ben.
Arts funding is
I believe you, though.
Going downhill these days, and so yeah, they had to make a decision, and so HBO took it over, and they're retooling it. So HBO is so your reaction to cancel your HBO subscription over that, I mean not like I care how much money HBO gets, but I think HBO now is a really great service.
I'm still not going to reinstate it, though.
All right, whatever.
And the reason is because I'm going to switch to the Showtime thing, because Showtime is where the new Twin Peaks is on. And Ben, you're going to hear this from me, and I know you're not going to believe it, but it's totally true. If I had to choose between Game of Thrones and Twin Peaks, it would be Twin Peaks all the way.
Well,
that is the truth.
All right. Good for you, then. I do not hold that same opinion, but I have never seen Twin Peaks, so it doesn't really count.
I don't think you would. I don't think you would until the new Twin Peaks comes out, and maybe then, but maybe not even then.
I think the only reason I would watch the new Twin Peaks is just to see the people that I know. But I would have before I watch the new one, I would want to go through all the old ones first.
Yep, and you could, because they're all on Netflix.
Yeah.
And you probably could even make it through all of them before the new one comes out.
So the old ones are on Netflix, but the new ones are only going to be on Showtime, whatever Showtime service is.
Well, okay, so here's the thing.
Does Showtime have an HBO-type standalone service where you don't need to have cable?
They do indeed.
Well, good for them.
Which is why I would be switching. And the thing is, I'm tempted to do it now so I can see season 3 of Penny Dreadful, but I'm waiting for a while still. Because I like Penny Dreadful. And did I talk to you about this?
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Ava Green, big fan of her and her acting. And Josh Knisley, I'm sorry that they took your name.
Well, you know, he didn't make up that project, name, but yeah.
What's that?
He didn't make up that name.
Nope, he didn't. But still, I feel bad for him because I know what it's like.
Yeah.
You know, to have something that's named like something else.
Like, he had a failed Kickstarter for his project.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much money he was looking to raise, but it was some absurd amount, like 15 grand. He failed, and so I think he just kind of dropped that project.
I wanted to kind of work on it with him for a little bit, and I realized I was just not artistically up to the challenge.
He's put pieces of it online, like little snippets, and it looks really great. I mean, if he finishes, I'll happily, you know, support him somehow. I'm anxious to see it all. Regardless of what it's called.
And Josh, we should point out, is a really talented and funny performer also.
Yeah.
He did a bit that I still think is one of my favorite, and I'm not going to describe it either, just so that no young upstart steals it. But it's his Mark Twain bit. That's all I will say. It's pretty awesome.
Is that the one where he put a light bulb on his head?
No, that is not the one where he put a light bulb on his head.
All right. The only thing I remember him doing, which is this weird thing he did at a late night sketch fest cabaret, was he smeared cake batter in his hair.
Yep.
And put a light bulb on his head.
Put a light bulb on his head.
To cook the cake batter.
That's right.
And surprisingly, his head got hot.
Yeah. It's funny how that works.
Yeah.
But, you know, what can you do?
Just not put a light bulb on your head.
That's true. Yes. But yeah, he's great.
Problem solved.
Like him a lot. Hey, let's talk about more performers you like.
More performers.
Big fan of Paul Budritis also. I love a thing that my wife did, however, which was a send-up of his. Paul Budritis did a thing called The Orange Project.
Yes. Which you were a part of, I believe.
Spin the Bottle. Every once in a while, we would maybe do something with him. But I don't remember. Did we ever do something with him?
By we, you mean you and me. No, I never did.
Okay, then no. Never mind. But it was basically a monthly thing that he would do at Spin the Bottle. Some weird theater piece.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I thought it was great. But my wife, Jennifer Pratt, thought for whatever reason Paul Budritis needed to be taken down a peg. And so she did a parody of it called The Lemon Project for one of our pizza nights. And I thought it was the funniest thing I'd seen in my entire life.
Was Paul
there? This is before I was dating her. Yes. And I want to say that he really liked it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Jennifer's stuff at pizza night was always really kind of crazy and pretty awesome. She did that. And she did her comedian impression.
I don't remember that.
She did. I can't remember what his name is now. I think it's Buddy.
Buddy.
It's a guy who hates his wife. And she just went up and
That's any stand-up comedian.
That's I guess that's the point.
Yeah.
But she did a set as him, and it was super funny. I forgot what I used to do at pizza. I did a pizza night every once in a while, but I don't remember.
I think the only pizza night of yours I remember is that you read a journal from your army days, and there was the refrain, something like
Air Force Day.
Hyenas are eating my spine or something like that.
Oh, something. And I have a dingo grafted to my spine. Right, I think that's what it was.
I have a dingo grafted to my spine.
Yeah. That was when I was going crazy in the military.
Ah.
Which is, if you're going to go crazy, it's a good place to go because people notice pretty much right away.
Do they do anything? Maybe not, but they'll certainly notice.
Well, no, they'll do something.
They'll take your gun away.
If they're smart, they never gave you a gun in the first place, but they will suggest that you talk to somebody, and then that person that you talk to will go, hey, oh, man, have we talked about this, Ben?
Probably.
So, I was diagnosed with schizotypal personality disorder when I was in the Air Force.
Yep.
That's how we separated. And I got to thinking, this is sort of a Beautiful Mind type story, but only sort of, that the only reason that I was insane was because I matched certain criteria. And not insane, sorry. The only reason I had this personality disorder is because I matched certain criteria. And so I set about removing myself from that criteria by attacking each criterion in certain ways. And I'm pretty much asymptomatic now of the personality disorder I was given.
So give us an example. So what would be one of the criteria and how did you attack it?
No close friends except relatives. I joined a theater company.
You started aggressively making friends.
Yeah, or at least hanging out with people.
Right.
It still took me a while. But then I got married eventually. Oh, wait, they're my family.
It's more of an antisocial disorder that doesn't sound more of a disorder than a symptom of a disorder.
Okay, right. I'll tell you what. Having
visual hallucinations is something that I'm not saying this was one of the conditions, but something that you can try to aggressively attack that will lessen the impact of the condition on you than changing the way you live your life.
Okay, so at least five of the following symptoms must be present.
Did you just Google it?
Ideas. What's that?
Did you just Google it?
Yeah.
Cool. Lay it on.
Ideas of reference and delusions of reference. Meaning that everything relates to your own destiny.
Gotcha.
Can't get rid of that one, unfortunately.
Otherwise known as the Truman Show disease.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Or the number 23, any Jim Carrey movie, really. the idea that, the cereal boxes are telling me stuff.
Yeah.
That I can't get rid of. It still happens. Strange beliefs. Again, can't really get rid of it. But I stopped talking about both of them constantly. I'll still mention them like I am now.
Yeah.
But
listened to this long, dear listener, you've heard lots of strange beliefs.
Yes, true. Abnormal perceptual experiences, again, can't get rid of that. Strange thinking and speech. Okay, I have practiced diligently to cultivate a good vocabulary and to not really utter stuff unless I think it through first.
Right.
It seems to work.
Strange speech, though. Paranoia. I mean, I think if you'll recall a couple episodes ago, you tried to affect an accent, or sorry, a dialect.
Dang it. See, this is what I'm talking about. I may not, Ben, I may not be cured. I was wrong. Paranoia, which I can't help.
Cured not, but inappropriate treated, yes.
Inappropriate or constricted affect. Again, worked in the performing arts a little bit so that I can be somewhat normal.
Inappropriate, but for good cause.
Yes, exactly. Lack of close friends. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
You and I are close friends, I think.
Yeah.
Excessive social anxiety that does not abate and stems from paranoia rather than negative judgments about self. Yeah, unfortunately, gosh, it looks like I didn't get rid of a lot of...
Jeez, it sounds like I have this disease, too.
Hey, Welcome, brother. We have dues at the door. But yeah, so it's, I don't know.
Maybe
there's,
we got my chip.
It's a difficult situation.
No.
But I don't know what else to say other than I think I was a premature in my haha I beat it thing. All I know is that
I can't help
less people think I'm weird now.
This.
Oh no. Well yes.
You're
I mean
you're weird but in a good way.
You're responsible
way,
for making me think about it,
right,
man.
Right. Yes, yes.
Oh
I
gosh.
Made you look it up. Forget I said anything.
No, you didn't make me look it up. I looked it up.
Hey,
on my own.
So is your family still out of town? Or are you still living
they
living
are still
a
out
lonely
of town.
Life over there?
Yep. Yep, it's just me and the cat.
You done anything while they've been gone that you would not do while they were there?
I haven't cleaned the house at all. That's pretty nice. Other than that, not really. Well, except for watching Twin Peaks on the big TV.
Living the high life on the big TV.
Yeah, yeah. Normally, the big TV is being used by Jennifer to play video games or me to play video games.
God, it's the video game TV.
And if we want to watch TV, then we got to do it somewhere else. Penny Dreadful also on the big TV. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's it, really.
Yeah.
I'm learning the Lithuanian thing. I've been doing that.
Still?
I'm not sure how I'm going to do it when they come back.
Right.
Because of how the Lithuanian time works, you know, I wake up at 6 and then I'm doing my lesson at 6:30. And I don't know if my wife and daughter want to wake up at 6:30 on a Saturday to hear me.
Probably not.
Talking Lithuanian with people. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not sure what else to say about that.
You have
you
have a house. You probably have a room or a basement you can go to do your lessons.
I guess so, maybe.
That won't disturb
sec
sleeping
mess,
people.
Ben. That's good luck. Sec mess.
Ah. Well, sec mess to you.
Also, visogaro.
Ah, pizza garo.
I believe good health or have a good time or feel better about.
Feel like having
it's
a
it's
pizza.
Goodbye, but it means something more than that.
Aloha.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
So, given that, we are towards the end of our hour.
We are. So, to wrap it up, thanks for sticking with us, dear listener.
And this was a sort of a free-for-all. We didn't really have
a word.
Kind of old school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
there a word that could sum up everything that we talked about?
What's a retroactive word that we can talk about?
We could call it Twin Peaks because of that extended bit where I kept reading names.
Twin Peaks roll call.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Twin Peaks roll call. Good one, Ben.
Alrighty.
Like it.
And
if you're Eric Ray Anderson and Ben made you listen to this...
Come on the podcast. Be a guest.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be great. We'd like to hear from you. And I think, Ben, did we do something with Eric Ray Anderson, E-Ray? At one point, we've been in things that he's been in before, but did we ever... I want to say that maybe we did one thing with him. One thing where he helped us out.
I don't recall, Your Honor.
You know who would know, possibly?
Who? Eric Ray Anderson?
E-Ray, yeah, exactly.
It might be, I'll have to reference my spreadsheet of all of our performances and see if
something... Find out, that's your homework between now and,
it's my
and
homework.
Next Thursday.
I never do my homework.
I know, do it anyway.
All right,
Ben, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I'll see you.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll talk to you next week.
I will talk to you next week as well.
Alrighty.
Can't really see the buttons here, so I'm holding my phone up like a flashlight.
Is it dark?
But I'm still... Okay, hold on.